In this video, I'm going to teach you about a powerful devotion that I really like, and it only takes a few short minutes. Devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows is centuries old, and there are many different ways to show your devotion. But in this video, I'm going to focus on the devotion made popular by Saint Bridget of Sweden in the 14th century. Afterwards, I will get into the promises and why I personally like this devotion. Now, nobody has ever loved Christ more than the Virgin Mary, and it's that perfect and intense love that makes Mary's sorrow so powerful. Mary is the perfect example of conformity to the will of God, and that is the goal of the Christian life, to love God and to do His will. And this devotion will help us to do that. Meditating on Our Lady's sorrows will help us to love Jesus with the heart of Mary. Now, I said that this devotion was short, and it is. How short? It's only 7 Hail Marys long. You simply pray 7 Hail Marys, one in honor of each of Mary's 7 sorrows. Now, you might ask, did Mary suffer more than 7 times? Yes, of course. This devotion isn't meant to be a collection of every single time Our Lady was upset, but instead it covers certain key moments in the life of Jesus and Mary. Also, remember that the number 7 is symbolic of a perfect number. So by saying that Mary has 7 sorrows, it's really another way of saying that Our Lady suffered perfectly. In fact, many of the saints have said that Our Lady in her sorrows, because she was so pure and she loved Christ so much, that mystically she suffered more than any other person that has ever lived, besides Christ, of course. So keep that in mind as I review the 7 sorrows, that Mary loved Jesus more than any other person, even from a natural standpoint because of the love that a mother has for her son, but also theologically, Mary loved God above all else, and Jesus is God. Because of her purity of heart, she experienced a suffering that we normally wouldn't consider or even understand. So our goal in this, one of the benefits of this, is not just looking at Christ's sufferings as another event in time, but seeing them in light of Mary's perfect love. So again, to do this devotion, you'll simply call to mind the sorrow, and then you pray the Hail Mary while you're meditating upon this. So what are these 7 sorrows? The first sorrow is the prophecy of Simeon. Many of the mystics and saints say that either through her knowledge of Scripture or some interior grace or revelation that Our Lady already knew or had some idea that her son would be a man of sorrows, that his life would end tragically, and that she would thus be the mother of sorrows. So meditate upon this moment when Simeon confirms in Mary that a sword would indeed pierce her heart, that her son would be a stumbling block for many, that he would be the cause of the rise and the fall of many in Israel. And it is this event where we get that image of a sword piercing Mary's heart. And after this event, Mary will always carry a sorrow with her, knowing that her baby boy, her God, is going to suffer. The saints say that after this moment, she pondered everything in this sorrowful light. The second sorrow is the flight into Egypt. So you would call to mind Our Lady being in great sorrow, because already, even though Jesus is just a baby, his life is being sought by the very people whom he came to redeem. Also, I like to think about the difficulty of the journey itself, packing up, leaving in secret, the poverty, traveling with a child to a foreign land. This must have caused Mary great anguish. And I personally add to this the massacring of the innocents, because I imagine that Our Lady must have felt great sorrow as she considered the unjust death of all of those innocent children, that although Jesus was just a child, he hadn't even begun his public ministry, and already innocent people, the most innocent of all, are being put to death because of him. Those little innocents would be the first of many, many martyrs. The third sorrow is losing Jesus for 3 days. This one is easy for us to imagine. We think, oh my gosh, how terrible that would be to lose your child, to not know where he's at. But again, remember, this wasn't just her child. She had been entrusted with the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, and Our Lady loved him more than life itself. We cannot fathom the anxiety and agony that Our Lady must have experienced in the previous sorrows. At least she had the consolation of having her son with her. Here, she's experiencing a deep abandonment, a complete absence of the presence of Christ in her life. Also, we shouldn't forget that in a way, this is a great foreshadowing of when she loses him again for 3 days, when Jesus dies on the cross. The fourth sorrow is meeting Jesus on the way of the cross. Once again, we have to use our imaginations. So even for just a moment, you'll visualize Jesus. He's suffering. He's wounded from head to toe. He's being mocked and ridiculed. And on the way of the cross, then there's this beautiful interaction when he sees his mother. What did she look like? She sees him. What did she see in the eyes of Jesus? What did Jesus see in Mary's eyes? What were they communicating to each other without words? The love that must have been expressed, the sorrow, the agony, must have been extraordinary. But again, you have to use your imagination, and then you'd pray your Hail Mary. The fifth sorrow of Our Lady is Jesus' crucifixion. Now, this is it. This is the climax of Jesus' life. This is the greatest of Mary's sorrows. And although it was Jesus' body that was on the cross, Our Lady suffered with him mystically. Many of the saints say that two hearts were pierced with a single lance on that day. Now, words cannot express this event, and anything I say is going to fall short. Only grace can express it. But do the best you can to imagine Our Lady standing by the foot of the cross as her son fulfills his mission, and in a way, her mission. The greatest tragedy in human history is bringing about the greatest good. The sixth sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary is Jesus' removal from the cross. Now, there are no specific scriptural references to Mary having received Jesus' body. We've always held that as a tradition, and it makes sense to me that she who had held her son after his birth and cherished those moments would want to hold him after his death. The Church also recognizes this in the 13th Station of the Cross. I personally meditate upon how there must have been some sense of disorientation or shock. I think everybody experiences this disorientation when they see the dead body of a loved one for the first time. It looks like an empty shell. Their presence isn't there. And in this circumstance, this is really the only time where you have the true body of Christ without his real presence. And I can only imagine that Mary had to have been caught off guard when she grasped him and looked at him. Also, St. Bridget says that Our Lady closed his eyes and shut his mouth because they had remained opened after his death. There's a lot that you can ponder in all of these sorrows, but you're going to pick something, you imagine it, and you pray your Hail Mary. Finally, we have the seventh sorrow. Jesus is laid in the tomb. Now, this sorrow is unique because, as many saints have said, Mary was not ignorant of the mystery that she had a child who was going to rise from the dead. In a private revelation to St. Bridget, Mary revealed that although her grief over the death of Jesus could not be compared to any other grief or sorrow, she also rejoiced in her soul because she knew that her son brought salvation to the world, that he would rise from the dead and would live forever. And thus, there was some joy mingled in with this great sorrow. So these are the seven sorrows of Mary. I'll list them in the description so you can write them down. I'll also include some links where if you want to study more on different saints' reflections from Fulton Sheen or from St. Alphonsus, I'll include those in the links as well. But I hope that you can keep this devotion. Now, I'm going to get into the seven graces that have come to be associated with this devotion, but I want to be honest in that I personally don't like two of the graces, and I even believe that you should ignore them and be prudent in your confidence in the two in particular, which I'll mention. But before I get into that, I want to briefly go into why this devotion is so powerful from a theological standpoint. First of all, this devotion is almost entirely scriptural. And any time that you meditate with scripture, you're praying over the life of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to flow. Secondly, this is a meditation on the passion and suffering of Jesus Christ, which is also extremely powerful. And if you add to that Mary's sorrow is interwoven, you really have a powerhouse prayer that is very whole. It's vocal, it's meditative. And Our Lady, as you know, is the most powerful intercessor. And how much more powerful would that intercession be if you're calling to mind the most tender moments of her life and those moments of her son's life? Also, when we meditate on Jesus' passion with Mary's heart through her eyes, we have a greater compassion, and it touches us more deeply. And for me personally, I find that it reorients me, and it helps to remind me of the meaning and the purpose of my life, that everything that I do and all that I suffer can indeed be united to Christ's saving work on the cross. This devotion is also catechetical. Every time you pray this devotion, it reinforces a general outline of the life of Christ. And I think it's a great way to teach children about the life of Christ. And finally, I like this devotion because it's short. Seven Hail Marys. Anybody can do it. It only takes about 3 minutes. Sometimes you only have a few minutes to pray. And I find this prayer very beneficial for those reasons. Now, many of you want to hear, I know, let's discuss the graces or promises that have been associated with this devotion. Number one, I will grant peace to their families. I can see that. There's this saying that you can't have peace in the world without peace in the country, and you can't have peace in the country without peace in families, and you can't have peace in families without peace in the individual. Therefore, if this devotion helps you to have peace in your soul, then naturally you will have peace in the family. And you might say, Gabriel, my family, they don't pray. They're so chaotic. How can we have peace? Yes, that might be true. But you can still be the vessel by which God's grace will flow into your family through your prayer. Number two, those who keep this devotion will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. I can see this. I like this. I mentioned this was a scriptural devotion and it's focused on Christ, and therefore the Holy Spirit will flow, and naturally, when the Holy Spirit is flowing, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you. You will get insights and inspirations. Number three, I will console them in their pains and I will accompany them in their works. And I can see this as well. After all, this is a focus on the pains of Jesus and Mary. And Our Lady is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, who is the consoler. And often when we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we pray that Mary is our sweetness and our hope. So we will get consolations. That's true. Also, I personally pray this prayer before work. I ask Our Lady to assist me with my work, help me to know what God's will is. And by praying this prayer of the cooperation of the two hearts, it inspires you to cooperate and to unite your work with Christ's saving work on the cross. So yes, I really like number three. Number four, I will give them as much as they ask for, as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. Of course, this is very reasonable. Jesus and Mary only want what is best for us. Number five, I personally really like number five. I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy. and I will protect them at every instant of their lives. Yes, theologically, this is a good one. I can vouch for this one. What is it that defeated Satan? Jesus' death on the cross, the blood poured out. And that is the principal mystery of this devotion. Who is it that Scripture professed would crush Satan's head? Mary, the woman. And this devotion is Marian. So if Satan hates the blood of Christ, if Satan hates the death of Christ, if Satan hates Mary, if Satan hates the Hail Mary, then I promise you, Satan hates this devotion. And yes, if you are committed to Mary, she is committed to you, and she is your refuge at every moment. Now, the two promises that I recommend you ignore, even if they're true. I'm not saying ignore them because they're false. They might be true, but I recommend you ignore them for the good of your soul, to be prudent. So why? What are these? What could they possibly be that you're telling me to ignore it? All right, number 6. I will visibly help them at the moment of their death. They will see the face of their mother. Well, I have no doubt. I'm 100% confident that Our Lady will assist you at the moment of your death. The Hail Mary states, "Pray for me now and at the moment, at the hour of my death." I have no doubt about this. If you're praying the Hail Mary, you're praying the Rosary, you're praying this devotion, I have no doubt Mary will be assisting you at the hour of your death. But the troubling part is this promise that the help will be visible, that you will see her face. Even if it's true, reject this promise. Why? Because what if for some reason you don't see her face? The devil could use it against you. The hour of your death is the most important moment in your entire life. And that moment, I would hate for you to have put all your hope in this promise that was made more than 500 years ago and then not see the face of Mary. And then the devil used that against you and use it to try and cause you to despair. Instead, I encourage you to look forward to seeing the faces of Jesus and Mary after your death. None of us deserve the consolation of seeing Jesus and Mary in this life. And if you get a vision, praise be to God. But please don't expect it or demand it, especially not at this most critical hour. Number 7, again, ignore this one, not because it's false, but because you need to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. So number 7, I have obtained this grace from my divine Son, that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and sorrows will be taken from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all of their sins will be forgiven, and my Son will be their eternal consolation and joy. My brothers and sisters, ignore this promise. Don't be complacent. Would it be nice? Yes, it would be great. I also keep the First Friday for Saturday, which has a similar promise. But still, and I do those devotions, and I hope for that to happen, but I'm not going to focus on it. Ignore it. I would hate for some poor soul to say, "Well, I don't have to go to confession. I can commit mortal sins because I promoted the seven sorrows." No, don't do that. This devotion is indeed powerful, and one of your intentions when praying it should be the grace of final perseverance. But never let your guard down. You only have one life to live. Even if the Virgin Mary herself appears to you and says, "You will be saved," and that is a great consolation, and that has happened to people before, still work out your salvation in fear and in trembling, please. So these are the 7 promises to those who keep this devotion. You will notice a lot of similarities between this devotion and the Holy Rosary. In fact, many of the reasons that this devotion is good are magnified in the Rosary. But let me be clear, do not equate this devotion with the Holy Rosary. Don't say, I don't have to pray the Rosary. I will use this short 7 Hail Marys instead. No, if this devotion tempts you not to pray the Rosary, forget it. I'm presenting this to you as a supplement to the Rosary. The Rosary has been promoted by saint after saint, pope after pope, and approved apparition after approved apparition. Do not neglect the Rosary. If you don't pray the Rosary and you don't pray at all, this is a good start. If you have children and you don't pray with your children, this is a good start. This Seven Sorrows is a good devotion, and I personally pray it every day, and I hope you pray it every day, but please, not at the expense of the rosary. Today, more than ever, as you know, we need as many people as possible to pray the rosary. In the next video, I'm gonna teach you about an even shorter devotion. What? There's a shorter devotion than seven Hail Marys? Yes, the devotion is called the Three Hail Marys. And in that video, I will get into its benefits and promises, and I might even include how I personally combine the Three Hail Marys devotion with the Seven Sorrows of Mary. But for now, let us close by praying a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.